On the line with us this afternoon from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, is Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a week. Kind of interesting stuff going on in the markets. Maybe, I don't know, you want to start with the bean meal, you want to start with the outside up week. What do you want to do?
Well, the bean meal is a nice place to start. You know, that's a big issue right now with the market because back in 2004, we had a very strong bean oil and bean market, but we didn't see a lot of livestock liquidation, one, because the livestock prices were good and corn prices were low. And now we've got bean oil that has corrected and starting to correct now after making some pretty significant highs. It sounds like the speculators have been long bean oil and short meal, and this is with the meal going up with beans and bean oil. Now they're talking about today they started to unwind those spreads where they're buying back the meal and selling out of the oil, mainly because of the crude oil and because of the technicals. The magical number sounded like it was going to be around $300 a ton for the lead month meal. When we crossed through that, the buy stops were ripped open, and we really found a lot of good volume, it sounds like, above that $300 a ton level. So now we have to start wondering, was this going to start triggering some livestock liquidation, especially when it comes to the hog sector and the poultry sector, and maybe even a little bit of the dairy sector, depending on where milk prices shake out in the next 6 months.
Now, you're in Lafayette. You're awfully close to Purdue. And ag economist Chris Hurt, did you read his weekly outlook?
I did not. No, I didn't.
Oh, better go get it. I did a story on that this morning just because I had happened to read it. I didn't talk to Chris directly, but because the weekly outlook is put out by actually University of Illinois on the FarmDoc website, so you have to read it off the FarmDoc website. But he's talking about liquidation in the hog herd, and that potentially there should be as much liquidation in his mind as there was in the 2002-2003 time frame, and that there are just too many hogs that are out there. I think the October kill was estimated at 3% by USDA and came back at 11%.
Well, there's a couple big charts that we put out a note to clients. I think it was about 3 weeks ago. 2 or 3 weeks ago, saying that essentially the exact same thing. There's a couple leading indicators we watch on the fundamentals. The more well-known one is the hog-corn ratio, and that ratio is getting to levels, low enough levels, that it could stimulate liquidation. And another one is what the quarterly average hog price is compared to the total pork production, the total commercial pork production. And both of those charts are flagging us that there could be a liquidation phase here in the first quarter of 08, especially if prices don't meet and reach USDA's estimate for the first quarter. And I think that's real important from a standpoint that if you do see liquidation and you do see a dollar firming, you have, yes, the Chinese Olympics and the potential that they may come in and buy more pork here in the first part of 08, but that stronger dollar and liquidation would probably offset and overrule any pickup in export demand that we would see off of that, and that really concerns us. We usually go through that four-year cycle when it comes to the hogs, and we liquidated in 98 and again in 02. We were supposed to do it again in 06, but again, it goes back to the corn prices were low enough, the hog prices were high enough. We missed a liquidation cycle here, so we're running almost 2 years ahead with a buildup of anywhere from 1.5% to 2% breeding inventory. So we are overdue, and you have to have everything running on all eights to support higher prices with higher supplies. And I think that's something that if we get a chance to talk to Jackie about, I'd like to know what her feeling is on the dairy side of the equation. I know there's a lot of differences with the milk prices changing around, and it's, you know, helping the producers a lot more, but wondering if that might happen in the dairy as well if we get any higher grain prices.
Well, Jackie is here. We'll let her take up that question in just a second. You're going to stay with us through the bottom of the hour?
You betcha.
All right, so we're going to let you off the line for a moment, but stay on the line. I'm going to bring you back. We're going to take a quick look at Ed Kieser's forecast, just because that's pretty important, and remind folks that this afternoon we're going to take questions for Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. He's on the phone line. Jackie Bakes is in the studio. We'll talk with her in a moment as well, and if you have questions for either of them or on agriculture in general, you can dial in right now because Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming, actually, Dave's back at his desk, but we've got Jason on the other side, Croft, who's taking care of the business, and he'll pick up the phone at 217-333-9455. That's 333-WILL, or 800-222-9455. So dial in if you've got questions. We'll take up those questions in just a moment. Time now to take a look at what Ed Kieser forecast for the two-state region. Kind of ugly. He says a prolonged period of an icy mix of precip is expected across northern and many central portions of the two-state area, the worst of which is expected Saturday night into early next week. Many locations could experience a significant accumulation of ice tonight in northern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy and cold. In northern Indiana, cloudy. In central sections, cloudy with some scattered showers of light sleet and freezing drizzle arriving. In the south, cloudy, some rain in the south. Lows ranging this evening from zero in far northwestern Illinois to 40 in the far south tomorrow. In the far north, cloudy, some light snow showers arriving during the afternoon. Elsewhere in the north, in central sections, cloudy with some scattered light showers of sleet, freezing rain and rain. In the south, cloudy with rain. Highs will range from 17 in far northwestern Illinois to 47 in the far south.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris and McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report this afternoon. We're taking your phone calls at 217-244-9455. Or, 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. And Mike Zuzulo at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette is on the line with us. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon, Mike. We appreciate that.
Oh, this is a great idea. I'm glad we can take some calls.
You bet. And Jackie Vakes is with us this afternoon. She drove in. She's probably going to be stuck here in Illinois from Wisconsin. I think you came in last night and spent the night here in Champaign. Jackie, thanks for coming in from Stuart Peterson.
Oh, you're welcome.
So tell me about this dairy side that Mike asked.
Well, before we address dairy, one thing I wanted to ask back to you, Mike, is just when you're talking about the hog and you're talking about liquidation in the hog herd, how much of an impact do you think is present because we don't have as many hogs that are independently owned anymore?
Well, that's the big thing right now, the vertical integration. When you go back and look at the third quarter profits that some of the larger groups that are handling so many hogs now, they're very tight right now with their money. They're very tight-fisted. Packer margins are good, yes, but you've got some real issues with their balance sheets and their dividends, and so I don't think they're going to be in a mood to go ahead and put a lot of hogs into storage and a lot of pork into storage unless they really see a good demand stream continue here for the next 6 months. So I think you bring up a real good point. It's a little bit different than what we faced to the last 3 or 4 years, and probably why we've gone ahead and added to the herd is the outlook has been very, very good. But I got to believe even the vertically integrated people are going to be starting to feel the pinch of these higher grain prices if they last much longer. And some have hedged, but a great majority of them, from what we've tried to glean from some of their stock and Wall Street reports that they issue each quarter, they don't do a lot of hedging of their grain prices.
Well, and that seems to be true across all the markets pretty much. But to address the dairy situation, I guess what I'd have to say is that, you know, dairy has a real advantage from the standpoint that they have an opportunity to be able to feed a lot of different types of commodities in place of corn. Corn, of course, is the choice. But, you know, you can balance a ration around many other types of inputs. And so I don't think we're going to necessarily see the liquidation there. At this point in time, we've seen an increase in input costs on the dairy, but still a very attractive profit margin. And so I just don't see that as far as a major liquidation situation in the dairy herd. I do see some shift, you know, from the Californias, from the Western dairies and that type of thing, because we're not getting the amount of milk that we should be getting for the amount of cows that we've got. And some of that is in relationship to the change in the rations.
Mike and Jackie, almost as soon as we opened the phone lines up before we went to Ed Kieser's weather, they started to fill up. We have somebody who's waiting patiently on line four this afternoon. We'll take their phone call at this time. Good afternoon to you, and thanks for waiting. You have a question for Mike or Jackie today on line four? That's a toll-free line.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
We sold our corn and beans for January delivery, and now I'm wondering, would you think that buying calls might be a good idea right now for beans or corn?
Either one of us?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll take that one. I think what you probably want to use is, if you're familiar with it, a bull call spread perhaps. You know, it'll get you into a position that's at the money, gives you opportunity, but does limit your top side. Right at the moment, today you could go out there and you could sell, you know, $12 and $13 calls. I'd probably be out trying to sell some $13 calls against a nearby $11 call. But yes, and corn in the same thing. I think that when you look at beans, beans certainly have the greatest opportunity to go to the teens that we've ever seen. And a lot of that is just because usage is big. We've got an American dollar that favors us versus favoring South America. And so I do believe that it's a good idea. And I think, you know, in a fixed risk position, it's certainly not a bad thing to do.
Mike, any thoughts from you, Mike?
Yeah, I like the bull call spreads as well, and especially in the corn market, too, because you can really get a decent position put in place. You can get as much as a dollar spread, and it is known cost as long as you keep it the same contract month and your bought call is a lower strike price than your sold call. And so you can get a dollar window of opportunity for, you know, 15 to 20 cents. And if you're talking about 200 bushel of corn that you yield, you're talking about probably around, you know, $30 to $40 worth of cost, but you're also looking at being able to withstand a rally of about a dollar. And a lot of the clients we've talked to recently don't realize that the Chicago Board of Trade Exchange has changed the option structure. It's been probably 2 years ago now, but if you have expiring options that go and expire in the money, then those options will automatically be assigned to futures. So say, for instance, you bought a March 450 call and sold a March 550 call. If March futures expires in mid-February at 555, then the Board of Trade will automatically, after the close, put you long March corn at 450, short March corn at 550, and you can close that gap without ever even executing the trade. And you give up your premium, but you're assured of that spread of a dollar, and that's kind of a neat feature of those bull call spreads that we didn't have a few years ago.
7 minutes until we get to the bottom of the hour, and we have two people waiting patiently. If you'd like to get on the fun this afternoon talking to Jackie and Mike, you can ask your ag question to them on commodity marketing. It's 217-333-9455. That's 333-9455 locally. The 800 number, 800-222-9455. Line one, you have a question for Jackie and Mike today?
Yes, thanks for all your guys' marketing information. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I would like to talk about December 08 corn puts. I own 340, 350, and 370s. With the volatility in the market in the last 2 years, rolling up corn puts hasn't been very profitable. With the volatility, would you not roll these very often, and maybe instead of spending your money up front, wait for a spring or summer rally and spend that money on, who knows, 450 puts instead of rolling up the ones I already own?
Well, my position on that is, you know, I know I heard you say it hasn't been very profitable, but when you're looking at rolling up a put, what you're really doing is you're looking at rolling to a higher strike price, so you're protecting a higher cash value. So, you know, if you took a 340 put and rolled it up to a 420 put, you've just protected 80 more cents of value, and you didn't pay 80 cents for the put. So there's value there. To answer your question, would you sit and wait until a 450? It's a very hard answer to give. I do anticipate that we're going to see that 450 level, but I'm a firm believer that if the market has given you some profitable levels, if it's given you increases, that you need to protect it.
We have somebody also waiting on line two this afternoon. Do you have a question for Mike and Jackie?
Well, yes. There was a little lag time between when I switched from the radio to the phone. You were talking about the $11 to $13 bull call spread. What month would you be looking at that in?
Well, if you're looking to re-own old crop, and I'm thinking the $13 in the old crop marketplace, I would have to be looking at probably the July time frame.
Okay.
And you have a question, too?
Well, yes. Yes, I was disappointed today that corn was up only a nickel, with wheat up 30 cents, and so I was wondering what you thought might have happened today on the corn market.
And Mike?
I think that's a real good point. You had wheat up almost 4%, beans up 2%, and corn just a little over 1%. I do believe that you're starting to get a little bit of the repercussions of the ethanol demand starting to give way a little bit, and the trade not as excited either politically or in terms of economics of ethanol and corn blend and ethanol. The new energy bill is certainly slated towards the cellulosic, at least the House version that's going to the Senate. And I think you've also got the Chicago traders wondering why we're buying acres in corn when we've got such a big, big carryover of old crop, and we really should be buying acres in beans if you look at the balance sheets and you've got pretty good land and you're in the primary corn belt. So there is some tendency now by the trade to really wonder whether the corn is going to be able to keep these price levels without the help of the Federal Reserve, without the help of the wheat, and without the help of the beans. Like Jackie said, it's interesting because the wheat corn spread is now back above $5 in the lead month after today. So that tells us that the trade is back to the wheat being the leadership and back in the driver's seat as far as where the corn is probably going to head.
Well, and I'd have to say, you just made a reference, Mike, to what I wanted to talk about, and that is the wheat-corn spread. And I think when you talk about being disappointed in corn, I'm pretty happy with corn from the standpoint that it didn't end up negative today. I think what we've seen in a lot of cases is buying of wheat, selling of corn. When traders are they know we're getting up to that higher end, that's what they like to do. They like to do spreads down in the pit, and it's very convenient to buy wheat and sell corn.
We're into our last 3 minutes now. If you have a quick question, we can take that. Lines are open, 217-333-9455, 217, or 800-222-9455 on the toll-free, so that's 333-9455 locally, 800-222-9455. Jackie and Mike, why don't you give us a quick wrap-up this afternoon of what you think corn and soybeans will do over the next month and a half, and maybe we'll start with you, Jackie.
Well, over the next month and a half, I can tell you, I looked today at what the trend is to the end of December, and of course that's more short term, but over the last 7 years we've gone up 22 cents from today and we've gone back down 22 cents from today. So you can certainly see that there's a reflection there of the holiday season. Over the next, I anticipate that when we get the USDA report coming out in January, it could show a significant change in the grain stocks number for the usage for the last quarter. And if that's the case, I think the trade will get excited again about corn. When it comes to beans, beans are just going to keep on plunking along. As long as the American dollar stays where it's at, and the demand continues to be strong for biodiesel production, I don't see any major pushback.
Mike, very quickly, we have about a minute and a half, and I do have somebody online.
Sure. Corn and beans especially, if we can't get a bullish reaction to the big reports next week by the Federal Reserve and also the USDA, I would hope, and I really am meaning this, I hope that we do get a front-end-led correction, that we try and bring in more new and longer-term longs. We get past this issue of whether the funds are going to reallocate and pull money out of commodities, whether they're actually going to put more in. We kind of get through all that, and I would like to see a front-end correction. I think we're a little bit overdue for it, Todd. I think it would make the longer term, more medium term, past the next month and a half, a lot better. Obviously, the two wild cards are the two W's, weather and wheat.
Okay, and finally, we'll go to our line four, which is the toll-free line. You have a quick question for Jackie and Mike?
Yes, in light of the huge corn, would it be logical to hedge some corn by reversing that spread? Maybe in the May, selling the May wheat and buying the May corn or something like that.
Well, it makes all the sense in the world, but so does standing on a train track when there's no train coming. And when you're in the wheat market, you just have to be prepared for what you may be up against.
All right. Thank you much. Do you have anything to add to that one, Mike? Or
I think we learned a lesson in terms of the IB business of what the wheat was capable of doing to professional traders last year and again this winter. And I think that's where if I had my druthers and I could manage a position and watch a position all through the day for a client, I'd probably be more of a long Novo 8 bean, short DSO 8 corn spread trader.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Jackie.
Yep. Yeah. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson out of West Bend, Wisconsin, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report. Jackie will be with us again tomorrow on Commodity Week. That airs at 11:30. We'll record it tonight at 4:30. Our guest is Dan Bassey, so make sure you tune in for that one. You can pick it up off our website. We'll be back in just a couple moments to take a complete look at the weather forecast. Right now, your regional newscast is next.